Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
For those who follow Jesus, we are called to be a part of gospel community. You're not supposed to go live in a cave somewhere by yourself. Like, you are called to be a part of the body of Christ. We got to be united in our love for Jesus. He's the glue that holds us together. Amen. Second, we got to be united in our love for one another, loving each other as Christ loved us, right? Laying our lives down for one another, taking care of one another, bearing one another's burdens.
As Christians in our culture today, it's easy to forget the importance of experiencing Jesus in the midst of His community. Due to pandemics, safety concerns, and whatever else it might be, many Christians have gotten used to staying away from church. In today's message, Pastor Connor wants you to know that there is no compromise when it comes to showing up for him at church. You need to be there for other believers, live life alongside them, and experience it all with others, not alone. Now, here's Pastor Connor in the book of John chapter 17 as he continues his message, Community That's Genuine.
Even just the idea of being open and vulnerable like that is terrifying for you. You've spent years putting up walls and trying to conceal your, you know, struggles or whatever, and you've worked hard to hide these things. And we do this as Christians, right? Like, we kind of know how we're supposed to respond, how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to say to be good Christians. But when you tear down those walls and you hear people's individual stories, how many of you guys know you find out that no one's perfect? That all of our stories have scars, amen? Like, we have all gone through things. Gospel community creates sort of a safe haven where you can be open and real with one another, vulnerable about our struggles. And it also creates space for us to be accountable with one another, keeping each other accountable. Because we all have blind spots, right? And it kind of gives your brothers or your sisters a voice to call you out and to be like iron on iron and sharpening each other. Not in a judgmental way, but an encouraging way. Like, hey, I see this in you. I know that there's more. Like, I'm calling the champion out of you in a sense and pointing out those weaknesses to help us grow to look more like Jesus, right? Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I love that verse, and I love how it starts. Let us consider. Like, what if we actually thought about and strategized and dwelt on how we love one another? How can I provoke love from my community and good works? How can I be an instigator of this in my community? How can we challenge one another in this love? Some of you guys are kind of just showing up. Maybe you're on vacation or maybe you're here visiting, but maybe you're a local. And if your routine here is like show up, go home, and just enjoy the service, like, that's totally fine. And I hope you hear, like, we're totally genuinely okay with that. But I hope you know, our heart for you is that you would plug in, that you would be a part of this gospel community that we have here in the Alpine Chapel. Because here's the deal, we need one another, right? We need each other. You were never meant to be living this life alone. We were called to be doing life together, right? With one another. We need this. Like, I don't think that the monks have it right, going and living in a cave, trying to separate yourself from the world to be alone. Like, dude, we need each other. We are called to be doing life together with one another. So if we're going to live in this gospel community, first, you got to love Jesus with everything you are. We got to be united in that. He is the glue that holds us together, right? Second, we got to be united in our love for one another, okay? We have to be united in that, taking care of one another, bearing one another's burdens. This is the calling of a Jesus follower. Remember that time Jesus was asked, they asked him, like, what's the most important commandment? If you remember, there's like hundreds and hundreds of Old commandments and things that the Jewish people had to follow. And so they're like, Jesus, what's the most important thing? And I love Jesus' response. I'm going to read it really quick. Mark 12, 28. He says, Jesus answered, "The most important is, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." I love that. So first, basically, love God. Like, it's really simple. Just love him with everything you are. That's all he's saying. Love God with everything you are. And then second, he says, the second one is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. How many of you guys know, like, being a Christian is pretty easy? You just love God and love people. Like, that's it. It's broken down into two simple steps. And really, you can almost break it down into one. Because if you're head over heels in love with Jesus, loving people is just a byproduct. You don't even have to, like, think about it. It just happens. Like, when you love Jesus, you just start loving other people, right? The Bible actually has a lot to say about how we are called to love one another. I'm going to read a few passages for you. John 15, 12. This is Jesus talking. He says, "This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you." Think about that for a second. Jesus left divinity, took on human flesh to lay his life down for us. How are we supposed to love one another? That's a pretty high standard. We are called to be laying our lives down for one another, sacrificing for each other. Whoa. 1 Peter 4:8. "Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins." Galatians 5:13. "For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love." John 13:35, "I give you a new command." This is Jesus talking. "Love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this," get this part, this is important, "everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Right? So how are people going to know that we're disciples of Jesus? By our love for one another. Do you realize this is still true today? The world is constantly looking in at us weird Christians and going, what the heck? And if we are constantly arguing and drawing lines and fighting with one another, like, how is the world ever going to see Jesus? The world will know that we are Jesus followers by the way we love one another. Being united in our love for one another means we're all working together, right? Just like that church of Acts, where everybody understands their role and their position and what they're doing in the body of Christ. And they held all things in common and depended on one another. I'm going to read another kind of long section of scripture. Now, all I want you to do is just kind of listen and soak it in, if that's okay. It's a bit long, but it's so, so good. This is 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' Or again, the hand can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable We clothe these with greater honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. We, the church, are the body of Christ and we need each other, right? I really believe we all have a specific place and a purpose in this body, in this temple, and no member is less important than another member. Today, in my pocket, I have a little surprise. I have a Lego. My son and I have been playing with Legos a lot. He's almost 4 years old, and so him and I have been doing a lot of building with some Legos, okay? Anybody ever have just like a normal thing that they're doing, and all of a sudden God just like rocks your world? Anybody? Like just me? Like, I'll just be, like, hanging out, playing with my son. And this is what happened the other day. I'm building Legos, and I was kind of thinking about this message and trying to think of, like, what am I going to talk about? And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, man, look how these Legos kind of fit together. This is kind of cool, you know? But so for me, like, I feel like this has been me for, you know, much of my life, where I'm kind of over here doing my own thing, like, hey, everybody, look at me, you know? And if you look closely, my corners are probably even a little sharper than most. The little circular part here is like even a little rounder than most. It's like, look at me over here by myself doing my own thing. But honestly, who wants to look at just one Lego piece, right? Like, come on, who wants to look at just one piece? And I've never thought of myself or like this, like, what is the purpose of this? I think the purpose was to be a part of something bigger. Asked my son to build me a temple. This is what he came up with. Pretty cool. We're called to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, right? This is the calling of Christians. And it's kind of like what 1 Peter 2 talks about, if you've ever read that, where it talks about how you're just like one stone. You're just like one block in this thing. And maybe you're like, yeah, okay, you just got to attach yourself. And you're like, okay, I'll attach myself. I'll be part of the body. But I want to be right up here in the front, like on the top where everybody can see that position of prominence. Like, I'll be part of the body, but I want to be the smile. Like, I want to be the thing that everybody sees. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, but what if is like, no, man, I just want to be a part of this thing. It's just an honor. I don't care if I'm in the front or the back. It's just an honor to be a part of the temple, the body of Christ. Because why? Because Jesus, according to Ephesians chapter 2, is the cornerstone of this temple, right? And it's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And to think, like, I can be stacked in with Jeremiah and with, like, Paul, right? Like, that's crazy. And this week, you can come and be stacked in with the Alpine Chapel and with Pastor Isom and Pastor Sky and with, like, Bill McKee and Kelly and Colton and Linda and Ryan. And it's like, we can all come together as the body of Christ. Amen? Like, how cool is that? And I don't know if you've ever heard the story from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Where the temple is finally built. And I don't have time to get into the whole thing today, but I love this story because the people of God were sick of all of the idols that were being worshiped in their land and all this stuff. And so they come together. It took a long time, but they come together united in their love for God to build the temple. And on the day it's finally finished, Solomon stands up and kind of dedicates it to the Lord. And they sing this song and kind of go through this beautiful thing where he again and again says, it is the love of the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Like, we've given up on him, but he's never given up on us. We've had God and some other gods of the land, but like, God has never abandoned us. He's never forgotten about us. And so they dedicate this temple to the Lord, and all the people are out there and they're watching, and all of a sudden, fire from heaven drops down and the glory of the Lord fills the temple. And all the people of God are like out here on their faces and they're just like worshiping and no one even dares go into the temple because the glory of the Lord is there. You want to know why I want to be a part of gospel community? You want to know why I want to be stacked in to this temple? Because it's only those who are attached that get to see the glory of God. It's these people who get to see that fire come down, get to see God move. See, we're all the body of Christ and we need one another. We all have a place and a purpose in this temple. But it's only when we're attached that we get to see that incredible move of God and God do amazing things. Reminds me of that verse in John 15:5. It says, I am the vine, just Jesus talking. I'm the vine, you are the branches. And the one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Anybody relate to that? I could do nothing without Jesus. I need Jesus. And people who are like over here, like, look at me, man. I don't think they're gonna see. They're not gonna see the glory. Like, I wanna be a part of this thing right here. I wanna be a part of the temple, the body of Christ. I wanna know that I'm attached to the same thing Peter and Paul and Mary were attached to. Amen? I wanna be a part of this thing. And I don't care if I'm like up at front and everyone sees me or if I'm in the back and no one ever sees me, because the point is not that I need to be seen, but that I desperately want to see the glory of God. I want to be a part of this thing. And man, I hope that's you today. I hope that this is you. I think we all read Acts chapter 2 and there's a part of us that longs for it. My temple broke. Like that end part, right? That part that's like, oh man, they held all things in common. No one needed anything. Like, oh man, that's awesome. Like, dude, I would love to be a part of that community. Like the gospel community that they were living in then, oh, I would love to have been there. And I want that here. I want that in our church here in the Alpine Chapel or whatever church you may call home. I think that this is the calling for believers. For those who follow Jesus, we are called to be a part of gospel community. You're not supposed to go live in a cave somewhere by yourself. Like, you are called to be a part of the body of Christ. We got to be united in our love for Jesus. He's the glue that holds us together. Amen. Second, we got to be united in our love for one another, loving each other as Christ loved us, right? Laying our lives down for one another, taking care of one another, bearing one another's burdens. Genuinely loving one another. And when we do, we get to be a part of God's mission to save the world through Jesus. We get to see the glory of God. We get to see that fire come down. Because remember in the early church, right before they started living in this type of gospel community, if you remember that Jesus has just ascended, did his levitation thing up into heaven, and he tells them to go wait, that he was gonna send us his spirit. You guys remember this? And so once again, we have the people of God united in their love for God and love for one another up in this upper room, okay? And they're just waiting. They're just praying. They're just talking to God, just waiting for whatever he's gonna do. They have no idea. They're like, what is gonna happen? I don't know, he's gonna show up, something cool is gonna, like, I don't know. And they're just waiting, and all of a sudden, what happens? You guys remember? Because the temple, where's the temple today? Like the temple we just talked about in Chronicles, it's not there anymore, right? Where's the temple? Or should I say, who is the temple? We are, right? We are the temple. And so they're waiting in this upper room, united, together, waiting, praying. And all of a sudden, God shows up in like an awesome way, like tongues of fire on top of their heads. And unlike the people in the story of the Tower of Babel, where, you know, they were united for the wrong reasons and God comes and kind of confuses their language and they don't really get anywhere. This time God shows up. They're united for the right reasons. And you remember what happens? Peter goes out and preaches this message and everyone understands the gospel in their own language. God like reunites the language and the gospel begins to spread like wildfire throughout the entire world. Like today, we are still tasting the fruit of what happened back then in Pentecost. Like, dude, that is awesome. That is so cool. Like, what can happen when a people are united in their love for God and their love for one another? This unified people became the temple in which God chose to dwell, to put his spirit in. And this week I'm going, God, I want to be a part of that. Like, I want to be a part of that temple. Like, don't you just read the Old Testament and the New Testament and hear the miracles and hear these stories? Just like, oh man, like if I could just see one of these in my lifetime, like, oh, I would absolutely love it. I want to be a part of this. And I think, like, if we keep striving after like man-made strategies, like, I don't think we're going to see it. God had a plan for the church, still has a plan for the church. And he says, like, if you'll just love me with everything you are and love one another, the world is going to believe. Like, when you love each other, the world around you is going to know me and they're going to see who I am, right? And they might even believe in sin's destruction and the salvation of Jesus, but we got to stick together, striving side by side, not giving up, even though there's a lot of opposition, right? But we got to stick together. We got to stay in this thing. And we become the temple of God where his spirit dwells. And I believe, friends, that we will see a move of God in this generation. And that's my prayer for us. I'm praying for a move of God in this country that needs it so badly. I'm praying for a move of God in this town that needs it so badly. It's such a beautiful, bright place, but there is a darkness beneath the surface, a desperate need for Jesus. I'm praying for a move of God in this church, in my life. I need a move of God in my life and those around me, right? I really don't perfectly know what gospel community looks like as far as an application goes. Like, how do we, like, I don't know, it's so big and complex, I can't seem to fit my head around it, but I know it's possible. I know what can happen. Jesus prayed for it, right? That we would be one as he and the Father are one. And so that's my prayer for this church, that we would become one as Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one, that this would be a place of genuine gospel community, a group of friends who are head over heels in love with Jesus and in love with one another, taking care of each other, a community that actually does life together. And I know I'm weird, but I actually think this is possible. I actually think it's possible for us to live in this kind of a genuine community, a gospel-centered, life-giving, fulfilling kind of community. But we gotta be united in our love for Jesus, right? He is the glue that holds us together. He is everything. He is the backbone of our community. It's our love for him. And it's not because we found him, right? Like, it's because he first loved us, right? That's where it comes from. And then our love for one another. Like, when I understand how much I've been loved by God and am loved, like, I can't help but love the people around me. That's what we're called to do, to bear one another's burdens, to love one another. We got to stop with all the arguing and fighting, man, drawing of lines. We gotta love, man. That's what it's about, loving one another. And then we get to be a part of God's mission to save the world through Jesus. We get to see that fire come down and his glory fill the temple and fill this temple. Amen. But it starts with us. So let's do it. Let's do life together. Let's love Jesus with all we are and love one another authentically. And let's just see what God does. I think he's wanting to do some pretty awesome things in and through us.
A person's heartbeat serves as a sign of life. But when it comes to the church, what signs of life should we be looking for? Jesus answered that question for us during the last days of his life when he was speaking to his disciples. In John 13, verses 34 to 35, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's hard enough to love the other people within your same church walls, but what about when it comes to other churches? Does Jesus truly expect us to love them too? What if they act, dress, or look differently than we do? The world is watching, and they don't care if you're wearing a suit and a tie or shorts and flip-flops. What they're going to see is the love, or lack of love, between us. Together, we make up the body of Christ. Are you exhibiting this sign of life for the world to see? It's been great to spend time with you today. We're so glad you've chosen to spend your time this way. When the world sees you loving others within the body of Christ, they're going to start asking questions. Be ready with our evangelizing tool, Something Missing. You can find it online at thealpinechapel.com. Once again, that's thealpinechapel.com. Burning Hearts is a ministry out of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. On our website, you can learn about us and where to find our live stream services. Well, it's been great. We'll see you here again next time on Burning Hearts.